You know what sells this song to me, Steve? It's when Dean Martin, at the very beginning of the song, he doesn't just sing it. He goes, whoa.
Got to ease into it, just like we ease into spring
this
year.
Yes.
Here
this
in Chicago.
Doesn't really look like opening day, does it? Really, kind of?
No, it doesn't.
I mean,
it's, you know, when people say push the season back or the opening date, the Cubs have been playing for 2 weeks now.
Yes.
The White Sox were playing for over a week when they were at home in the snow.
Well, the opening day of baseball was a Thursday this year. So we're what is this, day 11?
Yeah, not quite.
Just shy of 2 weeks. But in your head, when you think baseball, you like to think of a warmer situation than what we're warmer and a lot less snow than what we're experiencing today. Would that be fair?
Well, I like to think warmer and no snow.
No snow would be nice. Right.
They should just make the season a month shorter on both ends.
Oh, see, that'll happen. Let's
you
talk
can.
About it.
I know.
For financial reasons.
But my gosh, it's just always like this and icky. And same in high school when boys go to play baseball at this time.
So cold.
I know.
And I don't know if you ever played with an aluminum bat.
Ooh, ouch.
But when you hit the ball and it's really cold with an aluminum bat, you feel the sting, not just in your hands, but in your arms, all through your body. Your whole body vibrates when you hit that. I mean, they don't use aluminum bats in Major League Baseball, but when I used to play, boy, was that a killer, the aluminum bat. So there have been some changes if you're going to one of the baseball games. The Cubs have their home opener scheduled. Originally, it was a 1:10 start. They've pushed that back. Is it by an hour?
1:20 to 2:20. So it's,
is that going to make a difference?
They have to clear the field.
It's giving him time to clean up.
Oh, I guess so.
Did you see I saw a picture of the field. It's pretty dusted over with snow.
Yeah, I can imagine.
At Guaranteed Rate Field up on the scoreboard right now or earlier this morning, they had a big Happy Holidays message. And did you hear the audio I was playing from Gary Pressey at Wrigley?
No, what did it say?
He was playing this morning.
Awesome.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Will that elf from Rudolph be throwing out the first pitch?
Maybe. I don't know.
Hermie the elf? I want to see him. All right. It's going to be a great show today. Wendy Snyder scheduled to appear at some point during the program. So if you want to have an office pool on what exact time Wendy will show up, that's a fun way to make yourself some extra money. That'll happen at some point. Sarah Wayne Callies. Do you know who that is? Sarah Wayne Callies? She's an actress originally from the suburbs of here, but went on to play leads in Prison Break and The Walking Dead. She's Coral's mother on Walking Dead. She will be in. And this is so nice of her. She did the Walker Stalker Con over the weekend, and that show's over, but she still wanted to come on with us. So she'll be on at some point. I already mentioned Eric Zorn, I think. He'll be here. And then a slightly shortened version of the bonus hour. Now, we're trying to figure out, Steve, if we're still legally able to even refer to it as the bonus hour when in all reality it's going to clock in at about 43 minutes today. What do you think, legally?
I think you can call it the bonus hour. Sure, we have the Lutheran hour on every Sunday.
Well, it's so funny you say that because Todd, our boss, used that as an example because I said, we're going to get sued. I go, if we go on and call this the bonus hour and deliver a second less than an hour, the lawsuits are just going to come flying at us. And he said, well, you know, we've called it the Lutheran hour for years and years and years. And in reality, and I already know this, it's about a half hour.
Right.
Right. So what next? Will 60 Minutes call themselves that and just shorten their show to 30?
You know, it's funny you say that because I almost never watch 60 Minutes anymore.
Yeah.
And, I did a bit of it yesterday. Did you happen to watch?
I didn't see any of it yesterday, no.
They had a great piece on the Harvard Lampoon.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, and I didn't know this, but apparently they lampooned Donald Trump when he was running for president in 2016, or maybe earlier, 2015.
Yeah.
They took the, I don't know, 150-year-old president's chair from the Harvard Crimson, the newspaper.
Yeah.
They notified the Trump campaign that the Crimson was going to endorse Trump, but they wanted a picture of him in the chair.
Oh.
So the Lampoon people broke into the Crimson, took the chair, brought it to Trump Tower, New York, and they've got these pictures of all these guys.
Oh, that sounds so cool.
Sitting around Trump thinking he's going to get this endorsement.
There's a movie on Netflix right now that has to do with the formation of what was, it started out as the Harvard Lampoon and it became the National Lampoon. There's a guy named Doug Kenny whose name you probably don't know, but Doug Kenny was a writer for both the Harvard Lampoon and then the National Lampoon, and one of the guys who created Animal House, he's no longer with us, died under mysterious circumstances on a mountain. He either jumped off a mountain or fell off a mountain or got pushed off of a mountain. Nobody's really sure. But there's this movie on Netflix that kind of chronicles the transition of Harvard Lampoon into National Lampoon and all the things that it kind of spawned after that. And if you get a chance, see it. It's really, it's one of those things where you don't realize how many people really came out of that camp, out of National Lampoon, you know, because they did a radio show.
Yeah. Well, I want to see that. And some of that came out of the Harvard Lampoon piece last night as well.
Oh, they showed that.
A lot of people who are writing now for comedies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was quite a breeding ground. All right, we'll do this. We'll take a quick break. Then Wendy Snyder will join us. We'll find out what's going on with her. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Hey, look what the Wampa just dragged in. It's Wendy Snyder, everybody.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was for the radio station. I was covering the Bill Cosby trial, and I couldn't find my shirt afterwards.
Oh, my goodness. How'd that happen?
That's crazy.
I don't know who took it, who hid it.
That's crazy.
That is a bad way to protest.
You think? I don't know. I keep looking at the shots.
Those aren't shots.
Hey.
I just think, you know, if you're combating going against a woman in those ways,
yes,
leave your shirt on.
That's solid advice, I think.
Honestly.
Yeah, that's pretty solid advice. Yeah.
It's frustrating to me. Yeah. Women, you know, can do more with their clothes on. All right, I guess that didn't sound
right. Wow, that was worth the wait, Wendy.
Is that...
Shut up, Steve.
Women can do more with their clothes on.
I just think you make a point.
Right.
I'm done.
Go on.
I'm going back into the traffic.
You make a better point when you
leave your clothes on, when you take it seriously.
Explain for people who don't know what's going on.
There was
this.
A protester as Bill Cosby was going into the courtroom today, and she was with the Me Too movement. And
yeah.
Steve, what did she have written all over her chest since you're staring at that picture?
Right or left. She had several messages over her back and her stomach and everywhere. It wasn't just one message. But she was topless,
right?
And she charged at Cosby, and they were sort of at a corner of the sidewalk. And it looks like the police got to her before she got to the corner where he was, but maybe within 10 feet or so.
So her belief was that by not wearing a shirt, she would get a lot more attention.
Yeah, it worked for laughing when you had messages.
Yeah,
you wanted
right.
A pain on your body, but did you take?
Was it Judy Kern?
Did you take Judy Kern seriously?
Well, I mean,
not.
Look, this is a guy who's been accused of. Taking sexual advantage of many women.
Right.
So she's having this sexual moment. I don't think that's acceptable.
Probably not. Right. Probably not. So what will happen with this? This is the second trial. It's over the same woman, but what will happen?
He's I don't know, 80, because so... anybody who's on the jury now.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't know of this case? There's
Everybody
no
does.
Way not to.
Right. Right.
It's so hard to have an unbiased opinion anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to do with this.
So here's what I've been told. And if I'm misunderstanding this, please let me know. But I was always under the belief you couldn't have any prior knowledge of the case. But as it turns out, I've had people in you know, who are lawyers say to me, it's not that you can't have any prior knowledge. It's that you can't have made up your mind
right.
as to whether or not the defendant is guilty or innocent. But didn't
in the
I
old
the
days maybe
that?
It was that, but with the internet now, I mean, seriously, there the Bill Cosby case, I'll bet you can't find one person in all the world that hasn't heard about
and
this.
And if there is somebody like that, I almost wouldn't want them on a jury, because you'd say, how are you not aware of this?
Yeah,
you know,
but that's where you can
everywhere.
Have an unbiased opinion of something, because you're just going to listen to the... You don't have to have prior knowledge, because you just listen to the case and you base it on the evidence, which, God, you know, I but look around when I'm at jury duty and I see the people that get chosen and I don't.
Yeah.
And I'm scared for myself if I ever have a jury, because some of these people don't look like they're going to be paying attention.
Right. That's my fear, is if somebody is that ill-informed as to current events... you go, wow, they're going out of their way to not know what's going on in the world.
And so help me God, if I ever break the law and I go to a jury trial and I see you or Bertrand in the jury box,
Steve, I
will
throw
up.
Steve and I have already volunteered, no matter what the case is, I don't care if it takes 5 years, I want on that jury. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Actually, I'd trust Bertrand.
Well, Wendy, I was going to say, you've been guilty of so many things that I'm willing to say right now you're not guilty in the trial.
Right, just this one.
Wow, right. All right, I want Bertrand. I want Bertrand. I'm going to take my shirt off and write Bertrand across my
wouldn't that be something?
Guilty.
Yeah.
Now I'm guilty.
Right. You guilty lying. As well. All right. So I have to say this really quick because we don't have a lot of time. Over the weekend, yesterday, I went to Toys R Us. They're
going out of business sale.
And you know what I equate this with? And it's not right, but it's true. You know how if there's a family friend that's old and you know they're not going to be around much longer, you don't want to see them that last time because you don't want to remember them that way?
Yeah, but you want to say goodbye.
That's what got me in the door.
And the big sale?
Well, the big sale is 10% off.
That's it?
Yeah.
When does it go to, liquidation? It's only 10%?
Yeah, most of the stuff, like Lego stuff, is 5% off. Video games are 5% off, but most of the games and toys are 10%. Like, initially when they announced this, they said savings of 30 to 70%, but I didn't see any of that. Maybe that stuff's already gone. But to walk around in a place where it'd be like if Disneyland said, yeah, we're going out of business, so come on by one last time and walk around, but a lot of the rides are closed and shops are closed, but we still have hot dogs, so come on out. That, like, I'm walking around Toys R Us yesterday, and it wasn't a ghost town, but most of the shelves that used to be, jam-packed with all kinds of fun toys and stuff, there'd be a peg with one thing on it or nothing on it.
That's not fun.
No, that's why I didn't want to go. Like, for so long, you and I were talking about it upstairs during the bonus hour. Well, you got to go in. There's savings to be had, and you say goodbye to an old friend. But I'm walking around there yesterday. And other people had that same look in their eyes, like, oh, don't go.
Well, it's like walking around this building a little bit.
Yes, it is.
I've been walking into this building for over 30 years.
It is. It is like walking through here.
That's got to be so hard for you old timers. And I mean that respectfully. I really do. I've only been here 4 years, and this is the greatest radio studio I've ever been in my entire 31 years of being on the air. I can't imagine just giving up lightly and walking away from this place.
It's hard to imagine.
And the building's quiet. The Tribune's moving. Many of the other tenants, CNN down the hall here, left last week or the week before as they rehabbed the whole building.
Yeah.
But, just walking into the cafeteria where,
used to be jammed to the rafters.
They used to have two full-time cashiers there.
Right.
Yeah.
And all kinds of different choices and everything, and now it's a pop-up place. But
Steve, what I was telling Wendy and Judy Pilak the other day is one of the things about this building, and they don't have anything like this in buildings now, there's a mail slot on every floor. I think there's two of them, and it's like a coppery finish or a brass finish where you put your mail in it, and then it just,
it's like a laundry chute.
It's like, right.
But really thin, right. And I never trust it. I always put it in at this level because I'm always scared there's a jam somewhere and my mortgage payment's not going
to
make it.
I don't know if it was Domity or someone was here not too long ago and I had to explain to them what that was. Because,
they had no idea.
No, it's a glass chute that says U.S. Mail on it.
But I think Wendy has something going where there's got to be a pileup. So I just got a note from Edley Stevenson a couple of weeks ago. How long was that in there?
Trying to book himself on the show.
He wants to come on and talk about his run. The feeling about the building. Remember there were times you would come in the building like downstairs on the parking level and there'd be 8 or 9 people waiting for an elevator. Now I haven't seen anybody down there in a month. There's just nobody down there anymore. That's so sad.
It is really sad. And then where it's different with Toys R Us is I know you well enough to know that you're going there and you're saddened and a discount would be great, but you almost feel guilty taking
the
discount.
That's so true.
I knew it.
That's so true. And then the other thing, because it really was, it was saying goodbye, is how when you go to a wake or a funeral, there's family members standing there and you go, oh boy, Paul, that guy, what a great guy that Paul was. So there's workers there, and I almost wanted to hug them. I almost went, come here, you. Come here, Dennis.
They probably would have liked it. Because where do they go? I mean, they'll look for a job at Target or Walmart.
Yeah.
What other toy stores?
A lot of towns have that store that's like
the learning experience.
It's like creative toys, and those are great, too. But just having a store that gigantic filled with toys, those days are coming to a fast end, and that's so sad, you know?
You should go around and hug all the people. I'm sure they feel it.
They just looked so forlorn yesterday. The customers did, I did, the workers did.
And then I thought of you feeling, because I know Jimmy Mack felt this way, you almost feel like you're taking advantage of an old friend that's going out of business.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to partake in this sale because they're in bad times. But, that's 40% off of at Walker.
Yeah,
all right,
that
maybe
would be worth it.
Yeah, it's more like going to a wake at someone's house. The family member's there and you're taking stuff from them, you know.
He always wanted me to have this.
He's not going
to.
Really, he told me I could take the
lamp. You know, that's a good idea when, you know, when I pass, I have so much junk.
Everyone
and
can
antiques.
Take something?
Yeah, if Jim, I'm assuming I'll go first. I'll probably drive him to his early death, but it might be nice to have, like, I collect old-fashioned radios. Maybe you could have, like, a little pop-up boutique, like some of my clothes that I love from Stitch Fix and my radios.
That would be great.
Could sell them, make some money.
That's not a bad idea.
Help pay for the burial because I don't want to be cremated.
Right. All right.
I'd like
now
it.
Now you're talking.
40% off for friends and family.
Wow. The savings just don't make sense. They're so great. All right. We'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Before anything else, Wendy, we have a public service announcement for the good people of Chicago.
And the not-so-good people.
Yeah. Do you want to explain what we're looking at through our window?
Well, one of us is laughing as it's happening, and one of us is concerned. Guess who? Which is which?
Yeah.
There is an Apple store right behind us in Pioneer Court that looks like a giant laptop.
Yeah.
If you
on purpose. That wasn't a coincidence. Wouldn't that be weird if when they were done, they went, wow, look at that. Isn't that crazy how that worked out?
Well, if you notice, the top of a laptop is rather smooth and all one level, if it was a roof, which it is. Or do you say roof? And there is snow on top of the laptop, and it's beginning to melt a little bit and just falling off in giant sheets.
Giant chunks of snowy ice are falling off the roof. And so far, I keep watching to see nobody's been hit so far, but it's a numbers game. At some point, somebody's going to get pegged in the head. So don't walk under the Apple store.
Don't walk
with
under
anyone
the
else
Apple
but
store
me.
With anyone else but
people
Bill.
In their 90s are enjoying this so much.
Oh my God, you killed me.
Maybe that wasn't an Apple approved roof, so it doesn't really work with the store the
maybe
way
maybe that's
to.
What it is, Steve.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
it works for 6 weeks and then it stops.
But did somebody think of that? Like, all right, in California where there's no snow, that would be awesome because it's a smooth, shiny laptop roof.
Right.
That's what it is. So did someone think, wow, this is not going to work very well when there's snow because there's no gritty shingles to hold the snow up? It's just sliding off.
Right. Right.
Oh, the snow season in Chicago is only from September to May.
Right. No reason to take it into account.
Can
it's
they
fine.
Open up the laptop
no.
and then get all the snow off and
they
then
cannot,
close it
nope.
again? That should have been
that
something.
Should have been something they worked on.
Yeah.
No, they cannot do that. So I will keep an eye on it and make sure that nobody gets hurt.
Which will understand or explain your distractions.
Right.
And his
hour.
Laughter.
Yeah. Right. If you hear me laughing really hard.
Right.
All right. So I have, Wendy, you know how every once in a while we'll play a game on the show and we'll have contestants on who are listeners and sometimes they don't do well, but you know the answers.
Not always.
We've had this happen a few times.
Yeah.
Where
and I get frustrated.
You get frustrated because you say to yourself, I wish I was playing this game because I'd be winning because I know these answers. Well, I found this game that is perfect for you. And here's what it is. From time to time, they'll make a movie here in the United States. And then they say, well, we'll show it to the people in America, but we also want to show it to people in other countries. And then they send it off, you know, to Italy or France or China, and they have to change the title a little bit. And sometimes the message gets lost in the translation of the title.
All right.
So here's what I'll do. I will give you the foreign translation of the title, and you tell me what the movie's actual title is.
And these are pretty well-known movies?
These are all pretty well-known movies. If they're not, I will tell you that, too. But I think most of these you've heard of. Okay. I'll also tell you the country of origin. That might help a little bit. All right. In China, Wendy. And Steve, you can help. Mary, you can help. You can certainly go to anybody for a lifeline. All right. So in China, this movie is called Superpower Dare Die Team. What's the movie? In China, it's called Superpower Dare Die Team.
Are these current movies?
This one is not that current, but it's a classic. I know for a fact you know this movie.
Say it again.
Superpower Dare Die Team.
So that's the Power Rangers?
No.
Oh, that was a good guess. I was going to say the Avengers, but
it's not the Avengers or the Power Rangers.
Reservoir Dogs.
Nope. Ghostbusters.
Oh my God.
That's what Ghostbuster translated into China.
One more time.
In Chinese. Superpower Dare Die Team.
That's bad.
Well, there's something in Asia, there's something with ghosts. They consider it very, it's bad luck to do anything with ghosts.
So they wouldn't mention ghosts.
You don't want to mention ghosts in the title. This is a more obscure movie. It's a British film from a couple years ago. The translation in China on this one was Six Naked Pigs.
Howard's End.
It is not Howard's End. No, it is not.
I don't know any British
This is a tough
movies.
One. Full Monty. Did you ever see the Full Monty?
Are you kidding
me?
Yeah,
but that...
They called it Six Naked Pigs when they showed it in China.
You weren't that far away, Bertrand.
In Denmark, this classic adventure movie was referred to as Mega Hard.
Super bad.
Nope.
Darn it. That was
Steve,
a
you want to try this one?
Well, Die Hard?
It is Die Hard.
Oh.
That's what they called it in Denmark, Mega Hard.
They should have said Uber Hard.
Uber Hard.
If they spoke German.
In, well, there's that.
I guess.
There's that. In Italy, this movie was referred to as, or called, If You Leave Me, I Delete You. There's no way you can get this one.
The Facebook movie.
No. Oh, that's a great guess.
Thank you very much.
It's not that. I'll give you a clue. Jim Carrey was the star of this movie.
If You Leave
Man
Me.
Man in the Moon.
If You Leave Me, I Delete You.
Oh,
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
No.
No, I'm going to go with...
This is so tough. This one's really... There's nothing in common at all with the actual title. Nothing.
What's the movie where...
The Mask.
Where he lived in a TV show. Truman Show.
Oh,
no.
That was such a good movie.
It's not Truman Show. The right answer on this one, and I'd let you keep guessing, but I don't think you could ever guess it. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I never even heard of that.
It has nothing in common.
What's that about?
About an hour and a half.
Seems like two.
In Germany, this comedy was called The Unbelievable Trip in a Wacky Airplane.
The airplane movie.
Yeah. Airplane.
Just call it airplane.
Airplane. Well, I don't
you
know.
You use the word.
I think in Germany, they didn't consider that enough to get you into the theater. They're like, well, who just wants to see a movie about an airplane? We better throw in the word unbelievable and wacky.
How about just wacky airplane?
Wacky
then?
Airplane. I love this one. This is one of my favorite ones. Again, this is from China. It's called His Powerful Device Makes Him Famous.
This is like the Match Game.
Superman.
No, it's not Superman.
His Powerful Device makes
him famous. What would that be?
No idea.
Boogie Nights.
Really?
Well, that explains
wow.
it.
Yeah.
It was prosthetic.
Yeah. Yeah. Spoiler alert. In the Czech,
how long ago did that movie come out?
I know. In the Czech Republic, this comedy was called Warm Shots.
Hot Shots Part Deux.
It's Hot Shots.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Very good. Very good.
Where was that from?
Czech Republic.
Czech, please. Is that what their dining show is
That's
called?
The name of it. Yes. In Israel, this comedy was called The Gun Died Laughing. This one makes, like, once you hear it, you go, oh, of course.
Smoking Gun? No.
Close. Very close.
Naked Gun.
Naked Gun.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. This one is the best. In Japan, this drama was called I'm Drunk and You're a Prostitute.
I'm Drunk and You're a Prostitute. Fish?
No. Leaving Las Vegas.
Oh.
How literal. I mean, that's exactly what the movie is. You can't be more literal than that.
I'm sorry. I heard TV drama. That's why you just said drama.
Oh, no, just drama. All right. This one, you can't miss this one. The Hole of Malkovich.
Being John Malkovich.
Yeah, Being John Malkovich. In Japan, they called it The Hole of Malkovich.
They should have just called it The Portal.
Yeah, The Portal's better. Why wouldn't they have called
it The Portal? The Hole of Malkovich?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's bad.
In China, this comedy was called Mr. Cat Poop.
Cat in the Hat?
As Good as It Gets with Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt.
Well, that makes sense too then, yeah.
I can't figure out why it was called that. Can you? Was there a reference to that in the movie? I don't remember it if there was.
If I was Jack Nicholson, I'd sue them for that.
I know. All right, I have more of these. You're doing really good,
I'm
by
not
the way.
Really.
You are. You're getting way more of these than I thought you would have. I got a couple more of these, so stick around. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. If you're just joining us, it's Bill and Wendy. You knew that, right? So they make a movie here in the United States. They ship it off to other parts of the world. A lot of times they have to change the title, and sometimes the message gets lost in translation. So I'm running a bunch of these past Wendy and Steve and Mary, seeing if they know these. For instance, in Spain, it was called Night of the Night. What was it called here in America?
Night of the Living Dead.
Nope. And I will help you with the spelling. Night, the first time, is K-N-I-G-H-T. Night, the second time, is N-I-G-H-T.
Batman, The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight. Yep. Well done. I don't think you'll get this one, although I love this one. This is a comedy, and in Sweden, it's an American-made movie, of course, but in Sweden, it was billed as, hey, where are the babies?
Shampoo.
No. Shampoo.
Look who's talking.
No. I don't think you can get this based on their title in Sweden. I don't think.
Hey, where are the babies?
Hey, comma, where are the babies?
It's a comedy?
It's a comedy.
I don't know.
You can't. It's impossible. Swingers. Why was it called Hey, Where Are the Babies?
Did they call people baby a lot in that?
They may have called
them baby.
Maybe. But
maybe
you,
baby.
They could have done better. In China, this comedy was referred to as One Night Big Belly. Now,
Shrek.
this one will make... No, but that's a great answer. This one will make sense.
One Night Big Belly.
Yeah.
My Fat Greek Wedding.
Nope. Knocked Up.
Oh.
Again, very literal.
That could be Where Are the Babies, too.
Very literal. I don't understand this at all, but I didn't see the movie, so maybe I'm missing it. It's a Vin Diesel film that in Spain was called A Super Tough Kangaroo.
Wreck-It Ralph.
The Pacifier.
Oh.
Where he's like a manny. Like a male nanny, but
he
I don't know
is?
Why it was called.
I never saw that.
I don't know why it was called A Super Tough Kangaroo. In Argentina, this musical was called Vaseline.
Greece.
Yes.
That's easy.
Yes. In France, this drama was called Inspector Harry.
Clint Eastwood, yeah. Dirty Harry.
Yep.
I am pretty good at
this. You're doing great at this. All right.
With no help from Bertrand
at all. None
at all.
Zero help. In Germany, this comedy was called Floppy Coppers Don't Bite.
Dirty Harry.
Nope. No, Steve. We already did Dirty Harry.
Floppy
Coppers Don't Bite. It's a comedy that was based on a television show from years ago.
Car 54, where are you?
No, but, you're close. Dragnet.
Ah.
You came very, very close. This one's very literal. In China, this drama was called He's a Ghost.
Ghost.
Nope. It's not Ghost.
I see dead people.
Yeah?
Sixth Sense.
Sixth Sense.
I am amazing myself here.
Doesn't that give away a little much, though, in the title?
That's not good.
I think they give away a little too much in the title. In China, you can't get this one. This is impossible. Great movie. In China, it was called Excitement 1995. But this is impossible because they don't give you any kind of clue. Excitement 1995. Tim Robbins is in it. And Morgan Freeman.
Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption. Yep.
How in the world?
This one's too easy. In France, it was called Mom, I Missed the Plane.
Throw Mama from the Train.
Home Alone.
Oh, yeah.
This may be the best one. I should have saved this one for last because this is just perfect. In France, this sci-fi movie was called The Young People Who Traverse Dimensions While Wearing Sunglasses. This is just brilliant. It's a sci-fi movie that in France was called The Young People Who Traverse Dimensions While Wearing Sunglasses.
Mars Attacks?
Nope. It's not Mars Attacks.
Who wore
it's
sunglasses?
The, Avatar.
Nope.
Who wore sunglasses?
It'll like when you know the title, you go, of course.
Star Trek?
No, it's not Star Trek.
Because Geordi LaForge had the banana clip over his eyes.
Right.
The women's hair
clip. He stole that from
clip.
His sister.
Yeah.
hey, where's my hair clip, Jordy? I don't know. I didn't see it. I don't know.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. The young people who traverse dimensions while wearing sunglasses. Sci-fi movie.
Oh, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
No. You give up?
I don't even know why that would be, but...
It's The Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
That was perfect. In Germany, this Disney film was called A Twin Seldom Comes Alone.
What so would that was be? An adult film?
No, it's a Disney film, Wendy. Mind out of the gutter. Come on.
Who's the twin? Who are twins in the Disney world?
Well, they've made this movie twice.
Yeah, it's
Parent Trap.
Yeah, Parent Trap. Very, very good.
How good am I
very,
at this?
That was great.
I don't know.
You're really good at this, and I'm trying to get you a prize.
Movies.
I want to get you a prize. In Germany, this comedy was called Full of the Nuts, but they said it a lot more stern than I just did. It's a comedy from about 10 years ago. Full of the Nuts.
The Bill Left story?
No. There's never been a movie like that, has there?
There should be.
Jake Gyllenhaal playing me?
I'd go for that.
I like that. Dodgeball.
Oh, that's funny.
Dodgeball. In China, this drama was called Mysterious Murder in a Snowy Cream. I don't know why they just didn't call it by its title. I guess they figured in China nobody would know what this was, but come on.
What kind of movie is this?
A drama. It's one of my favorite one of my all-time favorite movies. It's an excellent movie.
Okay, one more time.
Mysterious Murder in a Snowy Cream.
Oh, Murder of the Orient Express.
No. Mm-mm.
On the Orient. No.
Mm-mm.
The Great Gatsby.
Mm-mm. Give up?
Yes.
Fargo.
Oh, that's good.
Is it possible no one in China would get the reference that there's a city called Fargo? Maybe, I guess. But I don't want to see a movie called Murder in a Snowy Cream. What does that mean? In Germany, this comedy, this classic comedy, was called Urban Neurotic. This one's pretty self-evident, too. No guess? Urban Neurotic. It's a comedy from the 70s.
Larry David Show?
No, but you're in...
Oh, it's a comedy?
You're in the ballpark, yeah.
Anchorman.
Annie Hall.
I'm not in the ballpark at all.
Alphabetically, I would almost give it to you. You were just a couple away alphabetically. In China, this film was called Big Liar. It's a biography.
About Donald Trump?
About Nixon.
Oh.
Nixon was called Big Liar. In Japan, this drama was called 17-Year-Old Girl's Medical Chart. I wish I had known. I would have flown out there
Fast
to time Japan.
At Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
No, Girl Interrupted. Did you ever see that? Angelina Jolie movie?
No.
Very disturbing movie. In Malaysia, this comedy was called The Spy Who Behaved Very Nicely Around Me.
The Spy Who Loved Me.
The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Oh.
The Austin Powers
Austin
movie.
Austin Powers.
Very close. This is one of my favorite Jim Belushi movies of all time, Wendy.
You have one?
In Germany, this comedy was called My Partner with a Cold Snout.
A dog. I don't know.
Remember K-9?
Oh, you know, I almost said that.
Jim Belushi was a cop and he had a dog for a partner.
I just remembered the dog.
That's one of the best movies of all
time. The dog was a better actor.
Is that the one with Rob Lowe?
No, he's not in that.
Demi Moore?
No.
Seeing that one?
No.
Last night.
That's about last night.
What? A snout last night. Can we talk to Jerry?
Yeah.
Jerry's on the line. Hi, Jerry. Thanks for calling us.
Hi, good morning. And this really isn't a quiz. It's something that I read in one of those bathroom trivia books.
Oh.
And, it's true.
Yeah.
In South Korea, the number one American pilot for viewers of all time was Joni Loves Chachi. And the reasoning behind that, they think, is Chachi is Korean for penis.
So everybody tuned in to watch that.
I guess. I'm sure Scott Bio watched it.
Every woman loved Chachi. I'll tell you that.
Man.
Have a nice day.
Thanks, Jerry.
And now we'll have a better one.
Thank you.
What was the sunglass one or wearing glasses that you had for The Matrix? Because somebody texted in a better answer.
What was the better answer? It was young people doing something wearing sunglasses.
Interstellar travel.
Yeah,
Men in Black would have been better.
Yeah, it would have. Let me give you one more quick one. This was a comedy in Thailand. The title was, oh, this is such a great title, Zany Son-in-Law, Zippy Grandkids, and a Sour Father-in-Law.
The in-laws.
No, Meet the Parents.
Oh, that's what I meant. Serpentine.
Serpentine shell.
Darn it.
All right, a quick break, some news, and then Sarah Wayne Callie joins us from The Walking Dead. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I have been to Walker Stalker Con in the past. I did not go over the weekend. But Sarah Wayne Callie's in the studio with us. And Sarah, you played Lori on The Walking Dead. And I really want to thank you for being here because Walker Stalker Con's already over.
Yeah.
And yet you still come by for a visit. That's so very nice sweet of you.
Well, I'm kind of coming by because the third season of Colony is coming out on May 2nd.
Congrats.
And so I'm like, hey, it's my favorite character I've ever played. So
is it really?
I'm really,
yeah?
Kind of trying to get it out. And yeah. Yeah, I've never played a woman like her.
Explain Colony for those of us who have not seen
it's
it
USA.
Yet.
You guys, I'm sorry to interrupt, but can I just very quickly? We're getting hints, and now it looks like it's official that the Cubs have postponed their game today.
Okay.
So no opener right. on
oh,
the
Oh, no
side.
Cubs opener.
It. Yeah.
Why, were you snow. Supposed to go
oh,
to the game?
Man. Well, so Peter Jacobson's on Colony. He's from Chicago.
Yeah.
Apparently his dad was like a really
Walter
famous
Jacobson's son.
Sports reporter. Right.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
So I was invited to the opening game, but I have to get on a plane at 5. And I called Peter. I was like, look, I'll go. We'll go together. You can stay for the game. He had a job. He couldn't make it. And if Peter had flown in just for this game and it got postponed, it would break his heart.
Oh, that's no good.
It was all lined up properly in the stars. It's been canceled.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sad about that, though.
They'll find a time between now and June. Don't worry. Sir, please.
They might play a game or two.
They'll figure out a way to make this work.
They
all right, so Colony. Go through Colony with us.
Okay, so Colony's, so it's science fiction, right? So in the great tradition of science fiction, it's a story about contemporary issues dressed up with aliens and spaceships. So it's about the occupation of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
The first season was about a dictator who built a wall. I'm not even kidding. The second season was about a surveillance state and whether or not terrorism could ever be morally justified. I'm not joking.
Wow.
And in the third season, we continue to talk about the nature of resistance, you know, like these kind of these Me Too movements and the Black Lives Matter and all these other resistance movements we're living through. And then in the second half of the season, we talk about the way the data that's collected on people's cell phones is aggregated and used to manipulate and sort and influence a population.
So when Nostradamus wrote these scripts years ago, did he have any idea?
I'm telling you, my theory actually is that our showrunner, Ryan Condal, is a time traveler.
He must be.
Did he work on The Simpsons at one point? Because The Simpsons did this too.
It's bonkers. I mean, this is actually why I've always wanted to be in science fiction. Because I'm not a horror geek. You know, God love The Walking Dead. I'm not a horror geek. I'm a sci-fi geek. And that's what science fiction lets you do, right?
Yeah, sure.
You can talk about the stuff that's happening right now without using the T word or anything else.
Right.
You know?
Right. Wow. Why is this your favorite character that you've ever played?
She's the most fully formed female character I've ever played. I mean, you said something interesting in the intro. You said you may remember Rick Grimes had a wife. And that's how Lori was written. That was my job, and it was an honor to do it. But the character was written as Rick Grimes' wife. This character is written to be her own entire character with her own moral universe, her own ethical dilemmas, her own relationship to her children and her work and her husband. So it's a two-hander. You know what I mean? Like, yes, Josh Holloway and I play a husband and a wife, but neither one of us is kind of subordinated to the other one in the drama.
Yeah.
You didn't have time to grow. And quite honestly, I didn't like you because you had this Rick Grimes guy and then you get this hot Shane guy. And it's like, how can you have two hot people when the world is turning zombified? So
you're
I didn't
hogging
like
all
you.
The hot guys.
Hogging all the hot guys. I mean, I'll say you could almost name my autobiography like
Hogging all the hot guys.
Hogging all the hot guys, my life in art. It's crazy. You add Josh Holloway, Travis Fimmel, and Wentworth Miller to that list.
Hogging all the hot guys.
My only defense is I think they hire the hottest guy they can find, and then they're like, well, we should find some chick who can say words to act opposite him. Because it's not like, I'm not Cindy Crawford, right? Like, it's not how it works.
I've noticed they put you opposite a lot of guys who are either Australian or British, but do a great American accent. Andrew Lincoln, Rupert Friend from Homeland, Joel Edgerton, you worked opposite him.
Yep, Richard Armitage.
So you noticed that too, right? There's a lot of foreign types pretending to be Americans, and they go, well, let's get Sarah in here, too, then.
You know what's funny? Wentworth Miller, as it turns out, was born in England.
Oh, really?
And so I went like a 6-year stretch of my career where I did not have an American-born leading
man. Really?
But Josh Holloway is from, you know, the backwoods of Georgia, so yeah. I'm back.
Yeah. He played Sawyer, right, on Lost.
He
That's
did,
Josh
yeah.
Holloway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, I missed that show, too. We have Sarah Wayne Callies in the studio with us. We're going to continue her interview.
Sarah Wayne Callies is here. Season 3 of Colony on the USA Network is premiering May the 2nd. She says it's the best job she's ever had. Congrats on Season 3. That's very exciting.
Thanks.
That's
I
very, very
it.
Exciting. You and I share what I think is your middle name. Is your middle name Wayne, or is it
middle
all
name is Wayne.
Mine is two.
Really?
Oh, we have so much in common.
We have a lot in common.
You're a hot girl as well, and a great actor.
Thank you, Wendy.
You've been in Major League 1 and 2.
But don't you think that if we go on a murder spree,
yeah,
people will go, well, yeah, look at the name. The name Wayne
like
is
like John
right
Wayne Gacy?
There. Yeah, I think he ruined it for us.
Kenny Wayne Shepherd is pissed at both of you right
well,
now.
Should be.
You know, we shot part of Prison Break in John Wayne Gacy's cell. On
Did you really?
Yeah, at what's not real Fox River. I don't remember what it's called, but the penitentiary out in Joliet.
Yeah. Didn't and that freak you out?
The death row freaked me out. Like, it was no fun. It was, and Dom kept, like, walking up behind people and, like, tickling them on the back of the neck. Like, it was, I mean, a real death row. Like,
was it was no longer being used as a prison when you guys shot there, was it?
No, but the place across the street was, and it was being used for, like, sex offenders primarily.
Oh.
And I found out our third week that there was an underground tunnel that connects the two of them. I was like, I don't ever want to be alone.
Plus, the spirits there are, you know.
Oh, the spirits would be the worst.
Super creepy.
Yeah.
Very angry.
Super creepy.
So my wife did a scene. My wife's an actress, and she did a scene with you on Prison Break, but you weren't in the same room. You had to call. Link had some sort of a disease or an illness. Something was wrong with him, and you had to call a doctor to see what kind of medicine you should give, and my wife played that doctor. So you guys were in a scene together,
That's
but not
really.
Really.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's really good. This is what I like about Chicago.
Look at how jealous Wendy is.
It's a very small town.
Jealous. He's very jealous of us Wayne people.
Oh, I know. Wayne's wife was in a movie. Yeah. You were in two movies. Yeah. I've not been in a movie.
A movie called Wayne's World. You
can
I could have
been. Speaking of Wayne's World, which was locally here, I don't know where on your bio I read that you were born in LaGrange. I live in LaGrange, and LT High School has David Hasselhoff on their Wall of Fame because he's from LaGrange. Were you in LaGrange at any point?
Is LT Lyons Township High School?
Yeah.
That's where my mom went.
Get out of here.
My
That's
mom's
where
an
my
alumni
kids go.
Of Lyons Township. So I was born in LaGrange. I mean, I was born at Michael Reese Hospital, but my parents lived in LaGrange. We moved when I was a baby. So, you know, I'm one of those people who, like, it's on my driver's license, but it doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't fully claim it. But my parents are both from here. I got a lot of family still out there. At this Walker Stalker Con, I got a couple people. They were like,
oh, really?
I'm a Callies. I was like, well, we must be related because there's not many of us out there.
But how unfortunate to be forced to grow up in Hawaii. That's so unfair.
You moved from LaGrange to Hawaii?
Oh. We did. It's a hard knock life.
Oh.
I got to say. I know. But, you know, it's funny when
You're
I
still
came.
Still mad at your parents? I'd be furious with them.
Well, they prepared me for the mainland because when I went to college, I had a pair of sneakers, I had a hoodie, a cotton hoodie, and a pair of jeans. And
You're
so
sad.
I left Hawaii with that, and I was like, I am ready for winter. I was here like 5 minutes, and I was like, I am not ready for winter.
All right. I know this is inside baseball, but I need to ask you anyway. You made a movie with Nicolas Cage.
I did.
Sometimes I just lay in bed trying to imagine what that must be like. what was it like to work with Nicolas Cage?
I loved him. I took that job because it's Nicolas frickin' Cage, right? You know, and I rewatched Leaving Las Vegas before I went to work with him. And I was like, that's probably one of the best performances I'll ever see in my life. And I showed up. And I say this, people who know me would know this is a compliment. People who don't trust me.
Yeah.
He's weird.
Yeah.
But like, so am I. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we really got along. We were shooting.
But is it the same kind of weird? Because I picture his weird being otherworldly weird.
You know, here's what I love about Nick. Okay. So two things. First of all, he had this really cool ring on. And I was like, oh, that's beautiful. I was like, are those pearls? He goes, they're my son's teeth. I was like, totally, dude.
Yeah. Say no more.
Your son's teeth. Like, great. But the thing about Nick is that he cares less about what people think about him.
Really?
Than anyone I have ever met in the business. And for that, he has my eternal respect.
Oh.
We should all be like that because everyone judges everyone and I'm really sick of it.
Yeah.
So it would be nice to have that Teflon up where you go, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want.
We were shooting this movie and he's like, this movie's going to get panned. He's like, it's going to get panned. Well, because it's a somewhat occult, like kind of a pagan thing, whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm interested in paganism. I wanted to do a movie about it. He's like, they're going to hate it. I really don't give a beep. Like,
wow.
And I I had so much respect for somebody who is making decisions based on truly what interests him.
Yeah.
Not like, put me in a superhero suit and let's go make a Marvel movie and make, you know,
although he was almost Superman. You know that, right?
Was he really?
He was supposed to be Superman. Yeah.
What happened?
They did a screen test. And I don't know if you've ever seen it. It would not have been good.
I can't imagine.
Is it on YouTube? Can she find the screen?
Yeah, you can find it online. It's really, it's hard not to laugh. And I don't think they wanted it for laughs, you know.
Right, right. He is a doll of a human being. I will say that. I love the guy.
I'm so glad.
All right, but you also worked with Mickey Rourke. I don't know who's weirder.
You know what? I never worked with Mickey Rourke.
You did?
This is the weirdest thing. See, we are in the same movie, but we never... So I shot this movie on location in Nigeria. I was like...
Black November, correct?
Black November, yep. I was the only person from Hollywood who went over. It was me and an all-Nigerian cast, crew, writer, director, the whole thing. They screened the movie. The movie didn't do well. So they went back and they reshot a third of it in L.A. with like the most amazing... Like Mickey Rourke, Kim Basinger, Akon, like all these incredible people. I've never met them. Like, it's great to be in a movie together, but Mickey Rourke could not pick me out of a lineup.
Oh, really?
No.
All right, then no story there. On The Walking Dead, of course, Lori, you paved the way for what's going on now because you gave birth to Judith.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So a part of you is still in that show. Do you watch it at all?
I never did.
You never did?
It scares me. I know that sounds dumb, but it does. It scares me. I can't. I had nightmares while I was on the show, and that was from filming it. So... I did
watch. It's even creepier now.
Well, you know, Mike Satrazimus started as our A-camera operator, moved up to be our director of photography, and then started directing a lot of the episodes. And he and I were really good friends. He was the man who taught me how to operate a camera. Like, I have a huge part of my heart for him. And his first episode was the Look at the Flowers episode.
Oh,
yeah. Wow.
And he called me, and he was like, I know you don't watch the show, but I need you to watch this.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. And I watched it, and I called him. I was like, it was great. I won't sleep for a week. And I can't look at Melissa the same way.
Exactly. Yeah.
So thank you for ruining that for me.
When you do these conventions, the fans know everything. I mean, they've watched some of the episodes a dozen times. Is that challenging for you when they come up and they go, hey, in season 2, episode 3, when you said this, what do you do under those circumstances?
You know, they're by and large, they're used to it by now, because for years I've been like, I don't watch it. I never watched it. I can't help you on this.
Yeah.
Every now and again, someone will come up really angry about something my character's done.
Yeah.
And I try to be like, so I didn't write it or direct it or edit it. Or like, my job is to say the words in the right order and not bump into the furniture. Like, that's my whole job.
Right.
People are pretty cool, though, by and large.
Is there like a specific fan of yours that you just go, yeah, that's my average fan. That guy or that girl, that's who I'm appealing to.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of the people, because there are people who are fans of yours, like they'll watch your stuff or they'll follow Instagram. But then there are the people who are fans of yours, like they will drive from Milwaukee to Chicago, spend the money, stand in line, that whole thing. And I'm actually really proud of it. I started paying attention this weekend, and they're all like really cool women.
Nice.
Do you know what I mean? Like from probably like 15 to 50.
Nice.
But they're all like, man, I've got kids.
Yeah.
I can't keep those little bastards in the house. Like, you know, they're just really interesting, creative people. A lot of them are teachers.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for that because, you know, some of the guys on the show, they have fans that like, God love them, but it's a lot what those people bring and the like sign my boobs thing. Like, I don't really have to deal with that. And I'm not really mad at that.
All right. Well, Walker Stalker Con, it's in the name anyway. Yeah. So people do stalk. Yeah. And thankfully you have good ones.
Yeah. I mean, I got to say, my fans take good care of me, and I'm trying to take good care of them too.
I got to check out Colony. It sounds so interesting. I'm sorry I haven't watched it, but it's on USA, and season 3 is kicking off when?
May 2nd. And the first thing I've ever directed in my life is episode 9.
Congrats.
So tune in.
Will there be more of that in the future, you're hoping? More
directing? Yeah, I'm going back to work on a miniseries I'm acting and directing in tomorrow.
Good.
So yeah.
Congratulations.
We need more women in film.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Pleasure to meet you, Miss LaGrange.
Thank you, Miss LaGrange.
That's Sarah Wayne Kelly. Is again, the season premiere of Colony. That's season 3. Takes place on USA on May the 2nd. Watch it. Thanks again, Sarah. Appreciate
it.
A quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We sing the praises of Eric Zorn.
Eric Zorn is here. Hi, Eric.
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
In our last episode with you, you were
previously
headed toward
on Bill and Wendy with Eric.
This is the point in our adventure
with Melissa and Whip.
Yes. You were headed toward Michigan to spend some time with your dad and enjoy the NCAA finals. Spoiler alert, it didn't end well. But you you had a wonderful time.
It was a wonderful trip. Yeah, I mean, I left from the studio, drove to Ann Arbor, got there in time for dinner, and we watched the game. And Michigan got clobbered, but they were beaten by a better team. It was not agonizing like a 2-point loss might have been.
Right,
just clobbered by a team that was clearly better.
Yeah,
and you got to be a realistic sports fan at some point and say.
Did you become a Villanova fan immediately after?
Of course, I jumped right in their bandwagon.
Within seconds.
Jumped right in their bandwagon. Started tipping over cars and stuff like that in the street. People thought it was inappropriate. But
it was just a nice experience to go back and spend it with your dad, who's a huge fan of the team as well.
It's become a tradition.
Yeah.
He's 86.
So yeah.
Hopefully we can keep it going. Michigan keeps getting back into the finals, but this is the second time I've done it. So sports is a great thing, right? It binds families together. It binds people together. I mean, my dad and I are in line politically, but there are people who don't agree on much who do definitely agree on their sports team. So,
yeah.
So sports is a great thing.
You surprised him by bringing Sister Jean. He did not see that coming.
But she had nothing else to do that day.
Her schedule was open.
She was looking around for something to do. So.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. I'm sorry your team didn't win.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
that. Would have been a nice championship.
I appreciate that.
You wanted to discuss something going on with credit cards that is very intriguing.
I think this is fascinating. There's a story in the New York Times this morning. The headline is "No More Hasty Scrawls: The End of Credit Card Signatures." And basically, the nut of this story is later this month, four of the largest credit card networks, American Express, Discover, MasterCard, and Visa, are going to stop requiring merchants to use signatures to complete credit card transactions.
You have been playing with this for quite some time.
I have been, yes. This is something that I have noticed. I noticed this many years ago that merchants didn't care what signature you put on a card. And so I started signing Shamu, the
killer whale
from SeaWorld. It was some internet comedian that had done this, and I sort of picked up on it and urged people to do it to see if anyone ever noticed. And the thing is that the checkout clerks, they don't even look. They haven't looked for years.
Right.
And they used to, according to this article, that used to be, that merchants would compare your signature to
they'd
the signature.
They'd flip over
they'd
the
look
back
at your
of your card.
And see the signature. I don't even know if my card is signed
mine
anymore.
Is not. I never signed mine.
So they would compare this, and if it didn't match, they'd ask to see some other ID.
Yeah.
And also, the company, when it was investigating fraud allegations, would come back and say, now we look at the signature on your card, and we see that it matches the signature.
That was
here.
Pre-chip, though.
Yes. Well, the chip came in about 10 years ago in Europe, but it really only became common here about 3 years ago. Because I still will swipe my card when there's a chip thing because I'm not used to it yet. I'm old school that way.
Has to be some kind of general color coordination, because at Home Depot, I think it's red if you want to put it through as credit. At Walgreens, it's yellow. There's three buttons, yellow, green, and red. Why can't they be uniform?
One thing I don't understand, why all these machines are so sophisticated. They've got a chip that changes the number for every transaction and everything. Doesn't the machine recognize whether it's a credit or a debit card?
No, because mine's both, but I choose not to use it as a debit.
Oh, I thought each card was, because I have a debit card and a credit card, and I use them.
I do too, but my debit card is also a credit.
So
a
you get to make the decision.
Yeah, and I've been told by experts who we have on the show, don't use your debit card when you're making a purchase. I only use it to go to the ATM.
Right. Why do your experts say
Go to fill up gas and it'll say, is this a credit or debit? I always hit credit and run it through as a credit. So nowhere am I punching in my PIN number.
Right.
So it's so one less thing for somebody to get.
The evil villain standing over your shoulder.
Or if there's
stroking his
that thing
chin
that they put on,
Oh, right. The skimming machines. Right.
Yeah. Yes. So I use it always as credit, except for the ATM when I take money out.
But so the question becomes, what good are signatures anymore? When do you use them?
Well,
ordering pizzas.
Voting, right? All right. If you try to sign your name accurately on those machines, if you try your hardest, you can't make it look like your own signature. It's just impossible.
It's like a, etch a sketch. Yeah. It's never.
It's all boxy, yeah. And
it, sometimes it stops before you even finish your name.
And it isn't. It's only so high. So if your signature is like mine, grand, horrid signature.
Yes.
Me too.
John Hancock.
There's no space for
there's
the
no
grand,
space
yes.
for I all flourish. My for my grand flourishes. Yes. And my filigrees and.
Right. I'm with you.
So right.
I'm a calligrapher, Eric. I bring in my pens. I try my best to make
my
it look.
It's like being in line behind Bill at a store
takes
like,
forever.
Like 10 minutes later, he's like, "Just a minute."
Better.
It's not the proper small I. I'm sorry. But it's, you know, you think about when do you use your signature anymore?
Hmm.
And one of the things they talk about in this article is that some restaurant servers are afraid that if you stop requiring the signature, that it will make it so people will engage less with the receipt.
Oh.
And that their tips will go down. Now,
is that true?
I don't know. I mean, I think this sounds like a fear, but... they bring it back to your table, right?
Yeah.
You're paying cash, though. So you're not going to have any interaction. You leave cash.
Well, clearly they bring it back to you, but there's this ritual where you look at the total and there's a line for a tip.
Right.
And then there's a line for your signature. So if there's no line for your signature anymore, is it possible that you'll just think, well, I don't need to engage with this anymore. I'm not going to leave a tip.
No.
But I don't think that would happen.
Last night I went out with some girlfriends, and it was a $90 pizza and bar tab, and we left $120. It was a big tip because we wanted to do it even among five girls.
Sure.
So we left a bigger tip, and I didn't sign anything. So why would you? People know to tip.
I don't know. People are afraid of change, obviously, and there's things for a long time on smaller purchases, when you go to Walgreens, you buy $20 or something like that. They haven't required a signature. It's for the larger purchases
right.
that you get asked for a signature, and merchants have, and there are a bunch of different rules about this. And so what they're saying here is that a lot of merchants, rather than try to remember all these rules, have just been requiring the signature anyway. And I've been asked for my signature just in the last couple of weeks on purchases of like $5 because
they
charge everything.
How forever if you got a package delivered to your house, you had to sign for it.
Right.
I don't remember the last time I had to sign for a package. It's just there on my front door.
Well, it depends how people send it. If it's like insured or requires signature, most people don't send it like that anymore.
I guess that's what it comes down to, because it used to be every package we got we had to sign for, and now
or
it's
they'd
none
leave
of them.
A post-it saying we tried to drop this off, come to the post office and sign like, for
really?
It.
Really, I'm going to go to the post
leave
office.
Leave it on the porch.
So you've got a situation where your signature is used for like mortgage documents,
right.
probably, and
right.
like I said, voting,
driver's license.
Yeah, driver's license. I suppose
angry petitions.
Right. Pardon?
Angry petitions.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, petitions is sort of part of the voting process.
Yeah.
But are they teaching kids? I mean, do people have signatures anymore? Do people work on them? Do your daughters have signatures?
I practiced mine for years.
Oh, I did when I was a kid. I thought,
me too.
I was like, not a signature, an autograph.
Right.
For years.
Yep.
But do people get on? I mean, isn't it just like selfies now, right? See, like,
right.
There's Wendy Snyder on the street. Come here and you get the picture, and that proves that you've
my kids' signatures are horrible, and I keep saying practice it because you're going to have to sign checks. You do have to sign your checks.
I wonder if you do, though. I mean, what happens if your check isn't signed? What if you just put, like...
I don't think
they'll
cash
it. What if I drew, with Shamu, I would write Shamu and draw a picture of a whale.
Yeah.
What if I did that on my checks?
I bet you that, especially if you have the app where you take a picture of your check, you have to take a picture of the back of it where it's endorsed. I don't think they're going to cash it, Shamu.
Somewhere at SeaWorld, the actual Shamu is going, what's with Eric Zorn? I get $300
theft.
In bills every week from this guy.
I keep getting all his bills.
What's with that guy? All right,
Shamu's actually... dead.
Is Shamu no longer with us?
Yes, I'm pretty sure.
Is this all too soon then?
Now it's sad. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more with Eric Zorn and Shamu. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. He writes and stuff. All right, some calls. Should we go to the phone lines, Wendy?
Eric Zorn has been signing Shamu on some of his credit card receipts, and we had wondered about endorsing the back of a check. Dade is on the line. Hi, Dade.
Haven't endorsed a check since 1992. My DePaul professor, law professor, said, you don't have to do that. Now, one overzealous banker sent back a $2,000 check and said, endorse the thing. We're not accepting it. But that was once in, what is that, 8 plus 17, 25 years.
What's the reason you're not doing this?
Laziness.
Oh, it's lazy?
Because, right. See, I wouldn't take the chance. You know, you said one came back and it was $2,000. What if that was the one that, you know, you needed to pay your mortgage and they didn't cash it? Why not just sign it?
I got in the habit and never done it since.
Now that he's mentioning this, I'm a little worried every time I sign a check that I've turned it into cash.
Oh.
You know, once you've endorsed it, suddenly it looks like if I drop it, someone can take it and say, look, he endorsed it over to me. I don't know. I mean, it's crazy. But I do have this feeling every time I sign the check, like,
thank you, Dade.
What's going on?
Somebody also said, I sign my credit card receipt every once in a while. I'm a thief, and nobody has ever said anything to me. Instead of their signature,
the guy who did the Shamu joke, the guy who signed Shamu to all his credit cards for a while, he decided to see how far he could take it, and he would sometimes in block letters he would print "not authorized."
Oh, funny!
And they would other times he would just put musical notes. Apparently he never really reached the end of the tolerance of merchants for this.
Did either of you ever experience this? If you make a mistake on the check, if you spell your name wrong or put the wrong amount in, you would have to initial it.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
To show that you did it.
That's the wall that they've built?
Well, yeah, because it looks...
Put
right,
your initials down.
Yeah.
Oh, that's foolproof. Well, no one else could do that. All right.
There's no way.
I'll do that.
And Susie's on the line. We had mentioned, I think Eric and Bill admitted they haven't signed the back of their credit cards, but they'd be in trouble at a certain store, Susie, wouldn't they?
Right. At the Gap, if you go in there, no matter when you go, they have a Gap credit card. And I don't know if it happens with other credit cards, but they always look at the back and see if my signature matches the back signature. And also at the post office, if you use a credit card, because I once used my husband's, we have two different names, and they wouldn't take it. And so they check as well the back of a card. But as far as the check goes, if you go to Walgreens, they'll take a blank check and they'll fill it in. They take the money out right away
right.
And get the check back.
Yeah, immediately. Right. Susie, all three of us here in this...
Anything.
All three of us, Wendy, Eric, and myself, all looked at the back of our credit cards.
It's white.
Nobody has signed anything.
Although, I swear to you, I signed it and it just wore off.
Because
my white thing's almost worn off.
Uh-huh. All right, I know I never signed
mine. Mine's fairly new.
And then,
of course,
if you do an airline reservation over the phone... They want your three-digit security number on the back of the credit card.
I think that it doubles as your, or it replaces your signature now as that three-number security code, which mine is 123 if anyone wants it.
I wish they change it every time they reissue you a card. I wish you could pick your own three numbers. Mine was 666 for a while, and I loved that, and then I lost
that
card.
Oh, I would have changed
that card. Shamu. Please do that.
Absolutely.
I like that. I think that's great.
Thanks for calling, Shamu.
Thanks, Susie.
Love that.
We appreciate it.
I'm more disturbed. We've discussed this, Wendy and I, on the show, that there are businesses now, there's a hamburger place by me, where if you come in with cash, you place your order, and you only have cash, you're out of luck.
Right.
They don't want cash anymore.
The only person who has cash.
That's all I have is cash. I always have my $20.
He gets a $20 allowance and has that every day.
I've got a related problem to that, which is ATMs give out $20 bills, and
right.
I don't find $20 bills all that useful anymore, because for larger purchases, I often charge things that are like $5.
The cash transaction takes too long, and I don't want change.
I don't want change either. And I thought, if I had like $5 bills and stuff like that, I might use those. But I never do. So if I've got like,
you'd rather have a $5 than a $20.
Yes.
Well, if it's like $3.82, you'd rather just give a $5.
Right.
And then I'd leave the change in the cup because I don't want the change anymore.
Wow, 18 cents. Get a quarter, take a quarter.
That's why I charge it.
And it's three-digit code we're talking about. I give that out. It's like it's high security. It's an extra secret code.
Not if you keep giving it out.
I give it out all the time.
Yeah.
That number is hardly a secret.
They don't keep it.
Who doesn't keep it?
Well, who do you give it out to?
The man.
If you're making a transaction and they ask for it, it's on record somewhere.
It's on record everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere.
They don't keep that information. I'm so naive, aren't I?
Keep that.
And how many, in the last week alone, there have been three major businesses that have said, had a breach.
Sorry. Wow.
Yeah. Is Facebook letting us know today whether or not our data was given to... Cambridge Analytica, is that today? I think it's today.
Well, Zuckerberg is testifying tomorrow in Congress. My question, though, for people is, what negative things happen to you because all your data is on Facebook and people know what kind of things you like to buy and how many kids you have?
I just care if somebody tries to steal my identity, because my credit rating just got back up there. I don't want somebody taking it down.
Like you did to Shamu. You can laugh all you want, Eric. Shamu's on to you.
It really wasn't very good of me to do that. But not all these issues. I mean, the idea of a card, just paying for stuff. I use Apple Pay now all the time. You know, just hold my phone up to the transponder, put my thumbprint down.
But is it constitutional for a business to say, because the dollar is, that's legal tender in the United States, is money, is cash. That's the way they devised it. So is it legal for a business to go, yeah, we don't accept money?
Get off the cash issue. That they're not going to take your cash. But it is legal. It's their business. They have less. You're the only one, I bet, who comes in and pays cash at that particular restaurant.
Well, now nobody does.
There's probably a picture of you on the wall back in the office.
Right. It's like, because of this guy. You can thank him. We're doing
bad
this.
People.
Automatically lock the doors when this guy comes in. No, it's
Johnny Cash. They call me when I walk in.
But being able to pay though with these devices, it does keep. When I go by a stoplight and I see somebody who's like begging for bills and stuff, yeah. I never have any singles.
I know. I say I have no money on me.
What
no
if those
cash.
Guys didn't take cash?
What if they take like, credit cards.
They got out one of those little square things and you could swipe it.
Right.
And
take gift cards
do
only.
Transactions.
Really?
Yeah, it'd be good. Why not?
Right.
You know, it'd be good.
All right.
Yes, they can do it, by the way. I know it's legal tender, but you know what? People, it takes more time for them to do the transaction than if they just swipe and move along. And they have to count and give you change. That takes more time.
And I do know that there are some court rulings that say that agencies, government agencies, don't have to take pennies in payment or even small coins.
Oh, really?
If you wanted to pay your taxes, right. Like, I got to pay my state taxes in pennies, I'll show those guys. There are rules about that, and pennies are legal tender. So obviously the law is flexible on
right.
legal tender.
When they raise the price on toll booths, I always have this giant thing of change in my car. So I would count out I'd give them pennies.
Yeah,
and
I did too.
And they get furious. They would just get nuts. Like the toll booth guy, if you give him a handful and you go, there's 90 cents. You hear that kind of thing from him because he doesn't want to count out the 90 cents. But it's the 90 cents you want for the toll.
This is how old I am. I remember when it was 40 cents, the toll. And if you filled a film canister, things that don't exist anymore.
Right.
The 35 millimeter
film canister. You filled that with pennies. It was 40 pennies.
Yeah.
So you just have those in your car and just throw them in.
And it would take a while for it to go.
Yeah.
But it would
sometimes you have to throw in one or two extras just to cover yourself.
We'll have to tell the kids what a 35 millimeter camera was. But and didn't some other radio personality in town get in trouble for urging people to throw Necco wafers into the
baskets? Necco wafers in.
But now we have the iPass and all that fun is gone.
I have a Necco iPass that I give them now. It's legal. That's Eric Zorn. He writes for the Chicago Tribune. You should read him. He's great. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
I'm also on with Steve Bertrand on the Mincing Rascals.
I don't know who that is. We'll talk to Steve next. We'll find out who he is. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We are, for certain, Lynn Burton, we are going to go to the stream. Steve Bertrand is here for the Wintrust Business Lunch.